previously.tv podcast network.
What are you two so bummed out about? Cable out?
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This, Beverly Hills 90210. Oh, today's episode is Season 8, Episode 17, The Elephant's Father. Okay. You now here are your hosts, Tara Ariel and Sarah D. Bunting.
Look, if you're hoping that we have a reason for why this episode is called The Elephant's Father, we don't. So don't get your hopes up.
And I'm not Googling it either because I do not give a shit.
It's because its trunk is packed full of dialogue and suspense and action.
Definitely not.
Nope.
Before we start, we haven't mentioned this in a while, but you can still buy ads on this podcast for a personal message if you wish to wish somebody a happy birthday or something of that ilk. It's $50, $100 for a commercial message. We welcome you. We will put something together that's very silly and dumb and hope that you enjoy that and give a shout out to someone you love or a business that you love.
You will hear an exemplar later in this podcast.
Go to, is it still previously.tv/ads, Dave?
Yes, it is.
Go to previously.tv/ads for more info. Now, let us start this nonsense with our C plot. Ugh. David gets embedded with a hard partying band. This is the dumbest thing I could possibly imagine, other than him getting a job at the Beverly Beat in the first place as a critic. yet this is what's happening. So Janet, and by the way, someone, because she just started on the show in our timeline, and someone went and looked up how many episodes she was in and was like, it's like 80. Like, oh God, there's just so much more show to go. Like, don't tell us that. Anyway,
oh God,
there's still so much more show to go, you guys. Janet asks David how many column inches he needs for his next review, but he says he's done slamming people, even though I will remind you, we found out in the last episode, they paid him in advance. Like, what are you doing? Anyway, Steve reminds David that critics are supposed to criticize, but David has a better idea. I doubt it. He wants to do a piece on a local band called Jasper's Law, follow them around, etc. And just as a side note, the DVD compilations, which we use for these episodes, care so little about the show that on the box it says the band's name is Jasper's Legend. So no one there even cares enough to like proofread these things. So David's with the band in the studio. One guy is drinking and not ready for Indian food since he just woke up. David compliments a recent show. The keyboard player shades him for being a groupie. David is very bad at this in general in clip number two.
Now, do you guys usually test out new songs in front of an audience, or
letting you listen, aren't we?
Depends on our mood.
You look a little stressed, David. You, want some help in the relaxation department?
Marky is our in-house Dr. Feelgood.
No, thanks, I'm fine. Member of the Clean Living Police, huh, groupie? Your loss.
It's all of our losses, Mark. Everyone shut up and kill yourselves.
So later, David wants to leave because it's late, and Mark, the band dealer, acts like David is a pussy for getting tired, offering something to wake him up. David declines and gets called a Boy Scout. It's like, you guys are all in your 20s, really, still with the peer pressure, but
yeah.
By now, David has started playing the piano in the studio, presumably so the other guys can ask him about his musical history, because he's this fucking guy. And eventually we find out he sold the band one of his old songs, and he's super cagey telling Val about it. So obviously the song is about Donna Snore.
Yeah.
That's it for that storyline.
Thank God.
On to the B plot. Carly returns to Big Sky Country. So Steve finds Carly at work to tell her he got them tickets to Rent. Just to situate you in history. But when she turns around, he sees that she's been crying because her dad had a heart attack and needs quadruple bypass surgery.
Wait, I got
and as we are.
Clip for that.
What?
Where is the rent? You must pay the rent. dollars, penny, nickels. I want them all right now.
Wow, I can't believe you remember the whole thing.
Rent.
Okay. When we see Carly next, she has an update. Just a reminder, since, you know, in case you forgot, her parents are obviously divorced, her mother having fucked off to Arizona with that guy. So he's alone. And Carly has an update. Her dad made it through surgery, but he'll have a long recovery. She's been trying to arrange for a nurse to take care of him when he gets out of the hospital, but they are so expensive. Steve immediately offers to help her with money, but she really wants to be with her dad. Steve suggests bringing him to LA, but he won't be able to travel for weeks, so she has to go there. And she gently later explains to Zach why they have to go back to Montana, but he's not having it. And Steve tells Carly he knows how Zach feels, but it won't be forever. And Carly says if she can find Zach a good school there, they'll probably stay.
I would also like to note, we do not have any clips for this section because who cares?
Yeah.
We never see them again. But Carly sits Zach down to explain to him in the manner usually reserved for explaining that a pet is at a farm upstate that they have to move. And she's so she's not completely euphemistic about it, but she's sufficiently vague that the fact that two lines into it, when Zach turns to her and has already been glycerined by a PA and is crying and saying he likes California. Mm-hmm. The whole thing is just so janky. It's just janky.
Yeah.
Why don't you just literally drop one of those domes over her, in Monsters, Inc., when, someone gets a baby sock stuck to them and has to be shaved? It would be a lot faster and more credible. In fact, let's all go watch Monsters, Inc. right now.
Oh, my God. Seriously, if only. So then Steve goes over.
Oh, this is so boring.
So Steve goes over the house as Carly is packing to tell her that she can't move. And Carly is glad that Zach isn't there to hear this shit because it wouldn't do him any good to get his hopes up. And they're both sad and sadly kiss and then sadly fuck. And then Carly has a bon voyage party at guess where. All the dudes try to comfort Zach by telling him he can be a rodeo cowboy when he grows up, which, by the way, he could do in California, too. They also have rodeos there. But anyway, Donna brings out a huge gift from all of them, which is a buckskin fringe coat and cowboy hat for Zach. This has got to be hundreds of dollars on something he's going to be able to wear for 10 minutes. And a shearling coat for Carly, who gives a brief speech about how much she's going to miss them all. Then Steve sees Carly off at the airport. Everyone's sad. I have to say, we see a couple of examples of Zach's art in this episode. One is a lion drawing, which we have in the visual aids at previously.tv. And here he gives Steve a picture of the two of them. And it's convincingly kid bad. I'll give them credit for that, if nothing else, in this whole stupid episode. Because so often on shows, when they have a prop that's supposed to be drawn by a kid, it's clearly by an adult with their wrong hand, trying to be bad as opposed to.
And then they put a backwards E, which no kid has ever done.
Yes.
Anyway, yeah. Yes. They're also still better than Donna's designs.
True. but anyway, Steve and Zach have a cute moment over it. I will miss the two of them together. They were very cute. They did a good job with these characters.
Well, it's like my brother-in-law, because he is so much like a kid, he's outstanding with kids. Mm-hmm. So
yep.
Yeah, that's where it is with Steve. Zach was cute. Not that annoying for a child actor. Pretty good, given what he had to work with. And it's too bad that we'll never see them again.
Nope. There's some love. I love yous and some hugs. And then that's it. And people in the thread of the last episode on our forums at previously.tv have been saying that apparently Carly or Hillary Swank asked to leave the show because the rest of the girls were too clicky, which I 100% believe, if nothing else, based solely on the fact of you never see Carly interact with anyone but Steve basically ever.
Oh, yeah, that's true. And I think that Tiffany Thiessen left for similar reasons. First of all, the show is completely stupid and not worthy of her boobs. And second of all, Jenny mm-hmm. and Tori were fucking cooses to everybody who was not them. So
shock.
Not really.
No. We do have an A plot, which we will get to. But first, we have a message for Nancy.
Sarita let us know that her friend Nancy is starting her own business, Triangle College Consulting, and she wanted to wish Nancy luck with an ad on this here podcast. It seems very clear that Nancy's company will be more successful than the various business endeavors of Beverly Hills 90210, but in order to ward off the Maloik, let's get very specific with five ways Nancy is better at businessing than any of the gangsters.
Number one, Nancy is unlikely to start a fire at her office, either by throwing clothes over a space heater or thinking it's a good idea to have a rave in an abandoned house with Fugazi wiring, or let's face it, at all.
Number two, Nancy will not contract a Colombian marching powder addict to paint a fugly mural in her workspace.
Oh, no. Number three, Nancy will not schedule important meetings at a noisy diner.
Number four, Nancy will not allow a first grader to use her presentations as a coloring book, and should this circumstance befall her, she will not resort to a bunch of stuff to smooth things over with the client.
Number five, last but not least, Nancy will not give away a bunch of mega consult deluxes to heartbroken post-adolescents just because they look mopey slash don't seem to know any other restaurants, consultants. You know what we mean.
We would like to thank Nancy for introducing Sarita to the podcast. Nancy, Sarita thanks you for being a friend and wishes you the very best in your new endeavor.
From good all of us, Nancy. Good luck, Nancy! And now here is the promised A-plot. Val brings drama to the clinic as the big breakup rocks the gang. So evidently, Steve has learned all the right lessons from the last episode as he calls Emma a psycho for taping Brandon and giving the resulting tape to Kelly. Brandon calls himself the psycho, but surely none of us believes he actually thinks that. Enter Val, saying this is the worst night of her life. Brandon's like, not now. So she snaps at him that she just got arrested. She says she's being sentenced the next day, which not sure that's how it works.
No. That's Steven, like an accelerated timeline, even for like Law and Order when they have the whole trial in a week. But yeah,
right.
Not how it works. Fine.
Like there would be a trial, right? They're acting like this is just a traffic summons or something.
I don't know.
I don't know or care. Steve and Brandon say they don't put people in jail for taking bets, which I'm not sure that's true either. But she asks what their problem is. Steve says Kelly moved out. Val manages to be more shocked than delighted as she asks why, but Steve claims it doesn't matter, which doesn't it? Val asks if there's anything she can do, but Brandon doesn't want to hear it, saying he knows she's just getting ready to gloat. Steve backs him up. They are right, but still, shut up. And then Donna and her crazy nipples, which I regret to say you can see in the visual aids, are opening the door.
Oh, God.
The apartment door to Kelly and her suitcases. Kelly says she didn't know where else to go. She didn't think to call first and blurts that Brandon cheated on her and she was hoping to have her old room back. And then Carly comes around the corner saying she heard the bell and I guess is about to hear she's getting evicted. And Kelly tells both Donna and Carly that Brandon had an affair with Emma, which did he? Is that what we would call what they did? Whatever. She has evidence in clip three.
You know, the watch that he gave me for Christmas, that was a gift that she had given him and he just passed it off on me.
As much as it pains me, and listeners, you know it does, to defend Brandon, that is not really what happened. You grabbed something out of his bag whose wrapping paper did not match everything else in your fucking house and opened it.
Yeah.
And he should have been like, that is actually for me, not for you. But
yeah,
like he is a shitburger, but that's like the one reason he's not. So can we just leave it out and not confuse the case against Brandon?
The other thing about the whole watch of it all is that it wouldn't be outside the realm of possibility that a freelance writer or whatever she was, I mean, she had a desk at the Beat, so whatever the definition was, who knows, but that she would give her editor a gift. And like, yeah. It wasn't that extravagant. Again, it was a fossil watch. This is like a $35 watch at the time, you know, like this is would have been a perfectly nice, if somewhat feminine thing for her to give him. And he could have just been like, oh, no, Emma gave me a gift. And Kelly would have thought nothing of it. Probably.
Yeah.
Anyway, Carly can't believe it and swiftly excuses herself, saying that she will sleep with Zach that night. Donna can't believe that Kelly is giving up on something so great, as though Donna has not been cheated on also, but Kelly tearfully insists that it's over. like, this is the part of it I don't get, that Donna is sticking up for Brandon, like, really, under the circumstances and given your own history, like, whatever.
Yeah. Also, anyway. Shut up. Like, your job is to be like, that's horrible. Here's some champagne. Like,
which she gets. She gets there, yeah. But still. The next day, Donna urges Kelly to call in sick, but Kelly is just so brave. And she's just about to go out the door when Donna picks up the phone. It is Brandon, not calling on the cell phone we know Kelly has, I guess so that he can berate her best friend in clip four.
I know she's there. Put her on the phone.
Look, Brandon, the truth is Kelly doesn't want to talk to you right now.
Maybe I should just come over.
No, that's not a good idea.
You can't run interference forever. I have a right to talk to her.
I don't think so, not after what you did.
Thanks, Donna. You're a real pal.
Yeah, I'm trying to be.
Donna! Donna!
Yeah, she's Kelly's friend, not yours. Fuck off. Fuck all the way off.
Also, what is that tone? You don't have the right to shit, fuckstick.
Oh.
You cheated on her.
We're all gonna get to know that tone, because it's the tone of the episode. Like, he is really acting like the wronged party, and it's, like, classic him, but also terrible.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So then Val and Noah are leaving court with the lawyer that they apparently shared, which, what? Val bitching about how much the judge lectured her. Noah got his liquor license suspended for a week, whereas Val has to do 50 hours of community service. And Noah is like, I didn't actually do anything, which is true, but he should have paid more attention. And the lawyer gives Val an envelope that contains her community service assignment, which, again, I don't think is how it works, but I don't know. And then Noah tells her she's fired from the club, which he's not my favorite, but fair. So Kelly is then all harried, arriving at work, where Dr. Martin introduces her to the clinic's new doctor, Jeff. He can tell that she's preoccupied, but for once, Kelly manages to keep her personal shit to herself, saying that she'll give him the clinic tour. But that's when a young woman gets their attention, her split lip still bloody. She says she hit a parked car, she didn't lose consciousness, and there were no witnesses, and also there's no way this is what happened. Not being so professional is Brandon, being such a bitch that finally Janet, who has known him for like 4 days, has to ask what is up his ass, and this ensues, clip five.
I slept with Emma, and Kelly broke up with me. Guess I might as well just tell everyone.
Well, that explains it.
Explains what, Silver?
Why you've been beating up the copy machine for the past 10 minutes.
And what's your point?
I'm sorry, my point?
Yeah, what's your point?
Dude, what's wrong with you? All I was saying was that you were
beating up. Hey, you started this. Dude, let's finish it.
What are you taking this out on
Brandon,
me for?
Brent. Come on, back off. It's not his fault. You're right, it's my fault. It's my fault. Everything's my fault. El Nino, the earthquakes, the fires, Malibu sliding into the ocean, it's all my fault.
Agree. Kill yourself.
No one's blaming you for the shit you didn't do, fucko. What is your problem?
Oh my god, why? Why is this the attitude?
Yeah, I also don't get, like, David laughing about this, like, every other chance they get, they remind us, like, that's my sister. Like, yes. Oh, now it's hilarious that he cheated on your sister? Okay.
I mean, clearly nobody in this writer's room as of season 8 has been there longer than, like, a season and has not read back or watched the old episodes. Like, they just don't, like, they literally don't know. So.
No, it's true. Anyway, Noah then takes Donna out for some lunch and mansplaining in clip 6.
Yesterday was the day from hell. I mean, first you get arrested, and then Brandon and Kelly break up, which I still don't get. I mean, you were so happy together.
Well, a guy made a mistake. It happens.
Well, I think sleeping with someone else a little bit more than a mistake.
It's called a flaw in a male technology. Some guys have trouble staying faithful.
You don't actually believe that.
I don't think it's right he slept with Emma. But if she loves him, she'll get over it.
Why should she have to get over it? She's not the one who cheated.
Look, it's her call. Does she love the guy or not?
Does commitment not mean anything to you?
Of course it does. But nobody's perfect. At least nobody I know. I mean, it's not black or white.
Really? Well, I'm sorry. I think it is.
I'm team Noah here. Like, the delivery is not great because it never is because Vincent Young. But, I mean, yeah, like, either she's going to get over it or she's not. He didn't say she had to. He just said, you know, it is what it is. The guy fucked up, which, all right, it's Brandon. But yeah, you know, I don't know.
Right. But Donna is saying they broke up. You know, like she already decided she's not going to get over it. And I feel like that's the end of it. But also, like, it's a flaw in the male wiring. Like, no, it's not.
Yeah. And if it is, speaking of get over it, like, really, we're still using that argument.
No.
Horn dog v. Virgin. Part right. The 15th. No.
I mean, some people have trouble with fidelity of both sexes. And, you know, if they're going to be in committed relationships, that's their issue to get over or figure out. And, you know, if they obviously Kelly and Brandon did not have an open relationship, and if they had, he still was very dishonest. So anyway, gross, in my opinion. Jeff thinks that Leah, the patient with the split lip, was physically assaulted. So I guess he went to the good medical school, but she denies it. He says he could file a police report, but nothing will happen until she makes a complaint. Kelly is already losing faith in humanity when Val walks in, still in her court suit. Like, I don't think your community service starts that day. But Kelly already knows because the court called. Val changes the subject from her disgrace to how cheerful Brandon seemed that morning, like a huge burden had been lifted off him, which is hilarious. But Kelly doesn't take this bait, telling Val her job at the clinic is going to be cleaning it. Pretty sure you have to have someone clean a medical facility who actually knows what they're doing and is going to do it properly. But sure, why not? And then we see her mopping in her suit and heels as if there wouldn't be scrubs that she could change into. And Kelly needles and gloats before noticing that Leah is still sitting in reception. She just wanted to rest, but now she thinks she should be going. And then Kelly gets very inappropriate, which is another theme of the episode, in clip 7.
I know what it's like to be hurt by somebody you love. You blame yourself. You think you deserve what you got, but you don't.
Why are you telling me this?
Because you can change your situation. There are places you can go. People will help you with abuse.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You're not alone in this.
I was in a car accident, okay? A fender bender. Nothing more, nothing less.
Cords are concerned.
This is so, I mean, I know that the only reason they gave Kelly, the writers gave Kelly this job, is so that storylines like this could happen. Like, it's obviously a staple of medical shows, people finding parallels with their own lives, like, duh. But Kelly's not a doctor, and like, all of the stuff she's doing is so overstepping the actual limitations of her job. Like, she's so inappropriate.
Oh my God. I just don't. Well, yeah, we will continue to see this in upcoming episodes, that she just acts like she's a doctor.
Yeah.
I would also like to note, although it's not really germane to this scene because he's not in it.
Uh-huh.
But Michael Riley Burke, who is the actor who plays Dr. Whatever, cutesy.
Jeff.
Yeah. Jeff, thank you. Has played Ted Bundy before.
Really?
So when she totally fails to learn anything from the last doctor who worked there, just keep that in mind.
Interesting. So we then get a scene where Brandon, Steve, and Noah all bitch about their relationship problems. Sarah cut an excellent shot of the three of them looking like fucking dickheads with Sarah. I don't want to spoil your caption. Please tell people what they can expect to see in the visual aids.
Oh my gosh. Hold on a second. I can't remember what I called it. I think there was a swear in it. Hold on.
Men's. Okay.
Hold on. I will find. Maybe. Damn it. So sorry.
Brandon, don't be such a squeef.
There you go.
You want me to just say it? Because I know.
Sure.
Men's shite activists.
Yes, it was the men's shite movement. Men's shites movement.
Yes.
They just look so, they're shot in this like Mount Rushmorean way.
Ugh, yes.
And they've all been like blathering on about how it's like biologically not a thing for men to, for the male of the species to be monogamous. And then Noah and Brandon bond over watching a Nature Channel special about animals eating their young.
Uh-huh.
And it's all extremely weird, except that Vincent Young does have one thing he's good at doing as an actor, which is being drunk.
Yeah.
He's good at that one. So go figure.
The scene is gross, but it's also so stupid that I can't really be bothered to get that mad about it. Like, it's these three, who cares? And then a scene later, Leah exactly. still has not left the clinic, telling Kelly that her husband is coming to pick her up. Kelly just didn't think that she would want to see her husband so soon after the car accident and the cliches about how nice Lenny is to her when she's sick. Kelly gives Leah her home phone number. Again, not appropriate. And then in comes Lenny, and it's fucking C.D. Barnes, Prince Eric from The Little Fucking Mermaid. Like, this is your abusive monster husband? Okay, guys. Like, he's the most baby-faced. He had to have been in his 30s by this point, and he still looks 14, like on that Julia Louis-Dreyfus show with the daycare that we were talking about in another recent episode of this or another podcast. Anyway, Jeff and Kelly make sure that Leah knows that they're here for her, and Lenny can't even make it to the door without hissing threats at her that they totally can hear. And when they're gone, Kelly complains that it seems like they didn't do anything for Leah, and Jeff says that's how the system works. And he suggests getting a drink. She declines, but accepts his offer to walk her to her car. Val can't believe that Brandon hasn't called, saying, "Men are slime." Kelly tells her to clean the floors again. And when Kelly's gone, we see from the pink slips in Val's hand that actually Brandon has called Kelly a lot. But she tears up the messages. Who cares? Kelly already dodges call at home. And then Brandon is really drunk when he shows up at the beach apartment looking for Kelly. Donna and Kelly both say they don't want him to come in, and he's respectful of their wishes, and their obvious concern about their safety is two women living alone at night, JK, clip 8.
Well, I have plenty to say to you.
Are you drunk?
Why won't you talk to me?
I don't want to see you like this, Brandon.
I'm not leaving until you talk to me.
I don't want to hear it. What's going on?
This is between me and Kelly.
I asked you to go.
I said I'm not leaving until you talk to me.
Listen to me. I have nothing to say to you, okay? Now get the hell out of here before I call the police.
It's like the same music cue, too. Like, yeah, we got it.
Yeah. Like, this is straight abusive behavior, you know, like, stay away. She's being clear.
Yeah. You're stalking and harassing her. Mm-hmm. Get off the property. When she wants to talk to you, she will.
Oh, but he's a good guy. No, fuck this. Fuck this show. The next morning, Brandon is hungover, not interested in discussing that or Kelly with Val. She claims that she left his messages on Kelly's desk, and wasn't it rude of Kelly not to return his calls? And maybe it's because Kelly was busy showing a new guy around, and Val saw and said guy asked Kelly out, and Brandon says Kelly can do what she wants. LOL, he does not think that. And then Kelly, speaking of stalkers, stalks Leah to her fucking job, and I would like to know exactly what this foundation is, clip 9.
What are you doing here?
I got permission from the foundation to get your work address. I just wanted to make sure you're okay.
No! No, man! That's not how it works!
Yeah, I was okay when HIPAA wasn't being violated, and when my privacy wasn't being violated, and when some 23-year-old in block heels she borrowed from her grandma was not showing up at my plant nursery, and of course they always work at like a plant nursery or an actual nursery, like what is that? To tell me some shit about my life. Fuck you!
Also, if the issue is, like, I think this woman is in an unsafe situation, I know I'll violate her privacy and track her down to where she works to make sure she knows she has no safe harbor anywhere.
Yeah. What?
Anyway, Leah claims she's fine and tries to get rid of Kelly, who's like, do you want to go for a walk? Like, no, bitch, I am working. But she does. And Leah tells Kelly her high school sweetheart story. Kelly then puts Donna's business on Front Street about how Ray broke her arm, which made her realize she had to break up with him, which, no, she continued dating him for, like, another half a season after that. Lenny is her world, Leah says. He's never hit her this bad before, etc. Kelly says Lenny needs counseling. Leah defends him, claiming problems at work, and Kelly gives her a pamphlet about how to get ready to leave. And I guess this is something that is for abused spouses so that they can, like, keep it in their wallet where they think no one's going to see. But it's seriously, like, the size of a business card.
Well, and they actually have a bit of dialogue about it that she's like, why is it so small?
Yeah.
Like, well, it's Brandon's. Just kidding. It's because you can fit it in your shoe or your bra, which right. is probably where they'd usually put it. And
I guess
you won't find it.
Right. Anyway, meanwhile, at the clinic, Val is dressed sensibly this day as Jeff asks her about being a bookie. And they quickly segue to Val talking up Kelly, who just broke up with her boyfriend, by the way. And then a guy brings a huge bouquet of flowers with a groveling card from Brandon. Val asks the delivery guy for a blank one and signs it to Kelly from a secret admirer. Meanwhile, clipped in.
Slow down, man.
You know, I send her flowers. She can't even pick up the phone to thank me. How are we supposed to fix this thing if she won't talk to me?
You gotta give her some space. That's what she wants, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Hey, slow down. What the hell was that?
I don't know. Let's find out.
Hi, can I help you?
Yeah, I'm the guy you almost killed at the intersection back there.
Sorry, I didn't see you.
Yeah, of course you didn't see me because you weren't paying attention, were you?
No, I wasn't.
You know, your vehicle's equipped with three mirrors. One, two, three. See those?
Get
your hands off me.
You're out of control, man. It's a mother and two kids.
The bongos of emotional decompensation are concerned.
He's such an asshole.
And the way, like, that clunk you hear is him just, like, with the side of his entire forearm just, like, shiving her window.
Yeah.
What the, like, fuck?
A stranger with, as Noah says, like, that's a woman with a kid in the car. Like, calm it down. You are a psycho.
And if the woman has a carry permit, that's a really good way to get yourself killed in Los Angeles and just about anywhere else. Like, really, little man?
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, that did not ensue.
So Kelly opens the card on the flowers and looks pleased, of course. Val says her secret admirer is Jeff. Enter Leah with a black eye because she wasn't home when Lenny got there. Under questioning, including by Kelly in the exam room, which, get out, she admits that he also punched her in the side. And Jeff examines this wound without pulling up her shirt and orders x-rays. Kelly states that Leah has to move out before this goes any further. She doesn't have any money or anywhere to go, and Kelly mentions shelters. Jeff says he's going to report this crime. Leah begs him not to. She knows Lenny's committed a crime, but she's scared of what he'll do to her if she leaves him. They're scared of what he'll do if he stays. She stays, rather. And on a dime, Leah wants to know if she could get into a shelter tonight. And in the next scene, Jeff reports that Leah's checked in at a shelter, compliments Kelly for helping her. Kelly says that she was in a bad situation recently, but then has to admit that Brandon never hit her. Like, stop trying to draw a parallel between your breakup and this woman's, like, domestic situation. They're not the same.
No, they're not.
She says she loves the flowers. He hopes they cheer her up. So it doesn't come out that he didn't actually send them. Val's mission accomplished. Now Kelly is ready to go for drinks with Jeff. But first, she tells Val to scrub all the toilets on threat of diming her out to the court. And when they're gone, Brandon calls to see if Kelly got her flowers. And Val chirps that she did. And then Noah is trailing Donna as she struts brawlessly across the Peach Pit parking lot. Her boobs
are... Oh, my God. We'll get into that. But let me just note that Kelly is going on a date with the doctor at this clinic.
Yeah.
A date. With the doctor. After the last one sexually harassed her and lost his job for trying to date her.
Oh, what, yeah. I didn't even make that connection.
What was the problem with that? She didn't find that one attractive. He was married. Like, what the issue is. The issue is not whether you want to go for a drink with the guy.
Right.
The issue is that it's not fucking appropriate because you're his employee.
Yeah, I will fully admit I did not even make that connection. I'm an idiot.
The writers clearly completely forgot about it because they were all switched out with Folger's crystals between that plot line and this one. Anyway, back to Donna's extremely bizarre walk. You know what it reminds me of? You know those old toys where it would be like a wooden doll and it would dance on a little wooden paddle?
Mm-hmm.
That's how she walks.
Yeah, I think it's that she's in a straight skirt, and I think it must not have a slit in the back because, like, it's down. The hem is at mid calf, so I think she's like physically restrained, like even more Barbie-ishly than normal. But her boobs are really bobbling. You can see it in the GIF I made because I'm sick. After spending time with Brandon lately, Noah now thinks that actually Brandon sucks and is totally to blame for the end of his relationship with Kelly. JK, here's what he actually says, clip 11.
Guy's reeling. You know, it made me realize how messed up he was over the whole thing. And that it cost him.
Nice emoting.
He cost himself. Like, I don't understand what argument he's actually making here, but whatever. Noah says he would never do that to Donna, and then they try to eat each other's faces off, as you can also see in the visual aids. Sorry, as I said, I am sick. Val then finally, 3 days after her arrest, apologizes to David because she doesn't want them to have further trust issues, but he doesn't actually care. And then Kelly comes home to find Brandon lurking on the deck. He says he knows she said she wanted space, but he needs to talk to her and she hasn't returned any of his calls. In other words, he knows she said she wanted space, but he doesn't respect her enough to give it to her. And also, let's all remember the last dude who used to hang out on the deck waiting for a woman to come home, because that was fucking Ray, the abuser. Anyway.
Yeah.
Kelly doesn't know about any calls, and instead of realizing that Val, the known liar, probably lied to him, this happens. Clip 12.
Let's make a deal, okay? No games.
I never play new games, Brandon.
I miss you, Kelly. And I love you. And I feel terrible about what happened.
Yep.
I'm looking for another shot here.
I'll give you a shot, asshole.
I'm nowhere near ready for that.
Does that have anything to do with the new doctor at the clinic?
Excuse me, but how long were we broken up before you slept with Emma? Oh, that's right, we weren't.
I want another chance.
I can't give you that.
Maybe not now.
Maybe not ever.
Kelly.
You should just go, Brandon.
Kelly, wait.
Just go.
Also, I'm sorry about what happened. Like, oh, that's nice. Nice passive voice. Like, what happened to you wasn't a sudden rainstorm. You know, you fucked another girl.
Yeah. Also, leave her alone. And if you're going to keep showing up, don't stand between her and her front door.
Yeah.
It's not okay. Have some sense of anything. Boundaries. Yeah. Personal responsibility. Actually caring what she wants.
Ugh.
Dick.
Well, that's it. Let's close up by naming our episode MVP. Carly? Being the only person who behaves appropriately when a family member has a medical emergency.
That's fair. I'm going to go with Donna for being like, yeah, some people are trying to be her friend and hanging up on Brandon.
Yeah, that's fair. Least valuable player.
Oh,
fucking Brandon. really no competition. I mean, some, but like he's so far out ahead / behind everyone else. The fucking worst.
It's true.
All right. We have a user submitted challenge.
I scored some amazing stones.
At Alexis Bafus, B-A-F-U-S, sorry if I'm mispronouncing that, asks us to list 5 ways Brandon would be forced to be less of an asshole if Dylan and Brandon came, Dylan and Brenda, sorry, came back to Beverly Hills from London, Brenda would tell him off a lot more. So he would have to listen to that. That would be good.
He would have to share the house and wouldn't necessarily be in charge, like by default, because she is also a Walsh.
Dylan might get another gun and threaten to shoot him.
Dylan might open a rival magazine called the Bot. I don't know. Just to be a dick, which I'm all for it.
Brenda would align with everyone against Brandon, which would isolate him more, and that would probably cause him to change his behavior somewhat.
Or he'd just leave the show.
Perhaps.
One day our prince will leave.
I believe we have a new feature, yes?
Oh, yeah. No, well, no, we don't, because I forgot to prepare it. But we will have a new feature. Dave, cue the music.
Ignore that, Dave. There's a code. You can start the outro.
Next time on Again With This, St. Donna saves a childhood, David squashes it with Noah, and a runaway bride and chlamydia teach everyone a very important something about trust. You can trust
our visual aids. Thanks for the tip, Dick.
You can trust our visual aids to cause nausea. You can find those and visual aids for every other episode of Again With This on our website at previously.tv. You can follow that website on Twitter at previously.tv, and you can follow this podcast at AWT90210. I'm quadruple bypass ex machina Sarah D. Bunting. I'm on Twitter at Tomato Nation. My co-host is good maid Tara Ariano, and she's on Twitter at Tara Ariano. And our producer is Nature Channel addict David T. Cole, and he's on Twitter at Clark. Talk to you next time.
Hi, you know what to do after the beeparoonie.
This has been a production of the Previously.tv Podcast Network.